As has already been mentioned, we have been studying the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are going to eventually end up in Psalm 22 once again. This is the second part of the message. First part was last week. But there is a passage we need to go to first. And in fact, as Gary was leading us in one of those songs about the crucifixion of Christ, where it was describing the horrible pain and suffering that Jesus went through, it just reinforced what this message is going to be about this morning. So that's why I want you to turn to a particular passage first, because this passage mentions something that we need to understand to get a full appreciation of the crucifixion. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want to read verse 13. This is the Holy Spirit's commentary on the crucifixion of Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Notice this clearly teaches that in redeeming us from our sinful condition, Jesus taking our sins upon himself, God dying in the person of Christ, he was cursed. Why? Because sin had cursed us. So he took our place and took the curse for us so that he could save our souls from hell and take us to a place called heaven. That's the purpose of the crucifixion. It says, however, because Galatians says, the Old Testament says, there's a quote, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 21. But did you notice? It doesn't say hanging on a cross. It says hanging on a tree. He did hang on a cross, and the cross was made out of wood from a tree. But I want you to understand what the Old Testament says about Old Testament crucifixion. Many Christians are not aware of what they did in the Old Testament when they crucified somebody. You say, I thought they only crucified in the New Testament. Hang on. We're going to get there. Turn to Deuteronomy 21, where Galatians is quoting. Deuteronomy 21, and I want us to look at verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, now that means capital punishment. He committed a capital crime. He is put to death and you hang him on a tree. That's why Galatians said what it said, because it quotes this. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is cursed of God. Four thoughts. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, How did they put people to death in the Old Testament? They stoned them. We put them in electric chairs. Our country used to hang people who committed capital crimes. Different nations have done it different ways through all the centuries. But the Jewish people, if you committed a capital crime worthy of death, they would gather stones and they literally stoned the person to death. So this says, if a man has committed a crime, a sin deserving of death, he is put to death, implied by stoning. That's the first thought. But watch. Second thought. And you should hang him on a tree. They took the corpse and hung it on a tree. He's already a dead man. They hung him on a tree. Do you know why? That way, everybody who walked down that road would see this body hanging on a tree and say to themselves, oh my goodness, we better obey God. If we don't, this is what happens. So notice, the body, the corpse, was put on the tree. Third thought, do not let him remain on the tree overnight, but you shall surely bury him that day. So they committed a sin deserving of death by stoning. They hung the corpse on a tree, but they took it down that day, lest the land be defiled. And the fourth thought is this. It says, anybody, if you see their body hanging on a tree, you know they are cursed by God. That's why Galatians says when Jesus died on the cross and redeemed us from our sinful condition, he was cursed of God in our place. Now, that is the preface or the introductory way into the passage that we are studying, because the prophet David gave us in Psalm 22, through the Spirit of God, he gave us one of the clearest descriptions of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, what would happen to him. And what I want you to notice this morning as we walk into this, what will be described will not be the corpse hanging on the tree. Jesus becomes a living sacrifice. That's the difference. Turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. If you were with us last week, I told you that we were going to get on the cross with Jesus Christ. No, not because we can die for our own sins. That's not what I'm saying. But to identify with Jesus Christ. Remember, the New Testament does teach that. We died with him. When he died, there is a spiritual sense in which we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose from the grave, it assures us that we someday will be raised from the grave and go to a place called heaven. So as we got on the cross with Jesus in Psalm 22, the first thought I gave you last week, he looked up from the cross. And Psalm 22, 1,000 years before it ever occurred, the psalmist said, Jesus would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And sure enough, the fourth statement he made from the cross was Psalm 22, verse 1. We talked about that last week. Then, secondly, he looked around the cross. And do you remember? As he looked around the cross, he described the people as animals. Dogs wagging their heads. And isn't it interesting that Psalm 22 says that? And when you go to the New Testament passage, remember we looked at the people around the cross, and it literally says some of them were wagging their heads. Fulfillment of the prophecy. He looked up from the cross. He looked around the cross. A couple more thoughts. We begin here now today. He looked at himself while he was hanging on the cross. I want you to see what he saw. In Psalm 22, he sees a living sacrifice. Verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. This is Jesus speaking prophetically, Psalm 22. He said, my heart is like wax. It has melted within me. Jesus says he looks at himself and he sees all of his bones out of joint. Well, sure enough, they sure did rip him apart. We just sung about that before they put him on the cross. A living skeleton he sees. Look at verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. What's a potsherd? That's sun-baked clay. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. So he looks and he sees, or he talks about the fact that he is experiencing this tremendous thirst. The last drops of moisture being drained from his beaten, bruised body. Interesting that one of the statements he made from the cross, reflecting Psalm 22, at one point, he cried out, I thirst. Then look at verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me. Congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Look at this. When he looks at his body, they pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. And that's exactly what they did. By the way, most of the people who were crucified were tied to crosses. They nailed Jesus. How disgusting. Just what the psalmist said they would do. They did what wasn't normal in treating Jesus this way. So he looked up. He looked around. He looked down at his body. Now fourth, he looked down at the foot of the cross, and here's what he sees. Verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They are gambling for my clothes. The psalmist, 1,000 years before the event happened, said, when he's crucified, there will be people under the cross gambling for his clothes. How sad is that? They didn't even give him the dignity of hanging with clothes on. I told you weeks ago When you see what the Bible says about what the crucifixion was, no artist is going to paint this in any picture. So he looked down. By the way, all four Gospels record this being fulfilled. Let's turn to one of them. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. Verses 35 and 36. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots. That's exactly what the scripture said would happen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That's a quote from Psalm 22. Interesting. The soldiers under the cross. What a contrast between the Savior on the cross and the soldiers under the cross. They were living their lives by chance. The Savior on the cross lived his life by a plan. He had a purpose for being there. When I look at those soldiers under the cross, you know what I say to myself? They're gambling with their souls. You're not gambling with your soul today, are you? I mean, maybe you're here and don't know for sure that you are saved, that you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. Maybe your grandparents have talked to you, or maybe your mom and dad talked to you about it. And you blew it off. I tell you, you're gambling with your soul. Jesus was there by purpose, by plan. He wasn't there by chance. Did you remember Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law." He came at a particular time. We studied Daniel's prophecy. He was crucified just exactly on the year that Daniel said he would be, hundreds of years before. When Jesus died on the cross, it was about the next world. There is a next world, by the way. We are going to be there. If you know the Lord, you're going to be there someday in that another world. Those men under the cross were living for this world. They wanted to see what they could get from this world, even to the point of gambling for a man's clothes who was being crucified. Wow. I'd like for you to turn back now Psalm 22. I have one more thing I want you to notice, and then we're going to be serving you the Lord's Supper. I could not resist mentioning this because I don't want to finish Psalm 22 and not read verse 6. This is Jesus speaking from the cross. "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head and they say, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" Because when you study Psalm 22... I told you, you're going to get more details about the crucifixion than you get in the New Testament. The New Testament simply says they crucified him. Doesn't tell you all the details like this. And at a particular point, you say to yourself, all the things you've described, I mean, he doesn't even seem like he's human hanging on the cross. That's right. Remember what Isaiah said? When you looked up at me on the cross, he said, my face didn't even look like a human man. He was so torn apart, his beard and his everything and his face and beaten. He hung there like an animal. Oh no, he says, like a worm. I feel like a worm. Wow, a worm? And I did some extra research. A worm? Well, I know what a worm is. I don't really want them. Usually they go unnoticed. I mean, if there was one laying out here, I don't notice it. Not interested in it. In fact, I usually go over if I step on them. A worm. Jesus said, when I was hanging on the cross, I felt like a worm. But he knew why. Because he was dying for us. That word worm, there are several words in the original language for worm. This one is the word scarlet worm. He said, I'm a scarlet worm. You say, what is that? The Hebrew says, they squeezed scarlet worms, and they squeezed the worm to get the blood out of the worm. Because that particular blood was used as dye for royal robes that people wore back in those days. So they killed these worms, particular worms, scarlet worms, because the scarlet worms were red. And they took that and they mixed it in a particular way and prepared it as a dye, which they used for scarlet robes, for royalty. Jesus said, I'm a worm. Do you know why he died? He died for us worms. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, by Jesus' blood being taken out of him, dying for us, shedding his blood, we have been clothed in robes of righteousness. And we have been put in God's royal family. The scarlet worm. He died for us worms. When I was a boy, I got saved. I was in church all through my grade school years, high school years, and I learned many of the hymns that we sing here at our church. I know them by heart. I learned them. And there was a particular song that came to my mind on this passage. I learned it as a boy. Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? I sang that as a boy all the way through. Got married, and somewhere in those years, our minister of music came to us one day. And we knew that we had just bought new hymn books. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. And he held the hymn book up and he said, I picked a song for us to sing. And he said, when I picked it, he said, I already knew the song. And he said, I started reading it and I said to myself, what? They don't say worms, that we're worms anymore. We're just sinners. Yeah. Sounds a lot, but not so offensive. Nobody likes to be thought of as a worm, right? Well, guess what? Jesus said, I'm a worm. because he was dying in our place.